fans by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show. Coming up this week, how far would you be prepared to go to force change at your club?
Walking out in the 15th minute, you know, it's going to be a peaceful process. One of the things that we are really trying to push people to sort of understand, we're paying our hard-earned money to get into the ground to walk out 15 minutes later.
We'll hear from the National League fans walking out. Plus, who's on their way to Wembley? We'll check in with the Vase and the trophy. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, sponsored by Pitch Hero. Running your club online should be simple, so start your free Pitch Hero trial today and see what a Pitch Hero website can do for your club. Let's bring in the team. I dreamt last night I was in a queue that kept getting longer from the front. Very much like working with PR man for the Evo Stick and Ryman Leagues, Dave Watters.
Good morning, Caroline.
Next up, he never queues for long, mainly because someone else is buying his pint. Former manager at AFC Wimbledon, Dave Anderson.
It's the first truth you've said about me in a long time.
A half-truth.
I've just worked out Pitch Hero.
Yeah.
I've just worked it out. I thought it was Pitch Hero for years, and I've just seen it wrote in front of me, Pitch Hero.
If
of course
else.
It makes sense now.
Our new sponsors are going to love you, Dave. Just keep saying Pitch Hero.
Or Pachuro, as he's just said.
Pachuro, yeah.
Well, let's start then with the FA Trophy this weekend and that matchup between Lincoln and York then, because it's the second legs of the semi-finals. Macclesfield head to Tranmere, all square at 1-1 from the first leg, while Gary Mills York have a 2-1 advantage going to Sinsel Bank to face Lincoln. And Gary joins us now. Hiya, Gary.
Hello.
I know you wouldn't have wanted the one on the other side, but 2-1 going to Sinsel Bank, fairly happy with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were 1-0 down at half time, so to come back second half brilliantly like we have, and go with a goal advantage, yeah, of course.
What will be the trickiest part of going to Sinsel Bank? I was just about to say, when we've seen so many of these teams be turned over there this season.
Well, I think we've seen a lot of each other lately. We played there 2 weeks ago in the league. And we actually got a 1-1 draw. We was 1-0 up with about 15 minutes to go, and they scored quite late on. So, you know, I think over the two games, we've proved that we can get results against what is a good Lincoln side that is absolutely full of confidence, and a squad that is absolutely massive and full of players that are, whoever plays goes out and does well. So we've just got to be doing our jobs. We've just got to be switched on to what we're about. We've been doing really well of late, not losing games. You know, we've grown a strength over the last sort of 6-7 weeks, and hopefully we can take that with us to Lincoln on Saturday.
Hi, Gary. It's Dave.
Hi, Dave.
I mean, I've wrote down here good time to go, and you know, I just feel, you know, with the FA Cup run and the massive publicity that they've had, that there can sometimes be an after effect to that, and if I'm you going there this Saturday, I'm thinking it's a reasonable time to go and play them.
Well, I think that's been said for quite a while with Lincoln, and to be fair to them, you know, whatever competition it's been in, whether it's league, FA Trophy or FA Cup, they've responded to playing well every game and picking up results. So, you know, I think it's, as soon as you start talking like that, and I get that with my press here about, is it a good time to play Lincoln? I think if we think that 1% that, oh, this is a good time to go to Lincoln because they're not going to be switched on, then we can't play how we want to play, and we're not totally focused on what we're about. So I certainly make sure my squad of players don't, you know, get sucked into any talk of Lincoln being switched off at all to any game.
Yeah, no, sure. I mean, talking about the way you want to play, and I mean, I know you've played each other. This will be sort of the third or fourth time in a couple of months. You were quite strong in your statement after the first leg about the Cowley brothers trying to get your players sort of booked and sent off. You know, and I always think that when a manager comes out to say that, you know, yeah, it's not something you chuck about for games, you know, mind games. It's something you would genuinely feel. What made you, why did you sort of choose to say it?
Because it was happening.
In what respect? Get examples?
Well, every challenge that, you know, they were with arms in the air with the fourth official to the referee, trying to get my players booked and sent off. And that's why I said it. We're here to play a game of football. Fair challenges, as always. And that's what I'm the same. It's just a natural reaction when somebody makes a late challenge that a genuine challenge, you naturally jump up and shout free kick. But when there's every decision, every tackle that, you know, some of them good tackles, then I just don't get it. And you know, I just try and get on with the game, let my players get on with the game, and let the referee get on with his job. And, you know, it was just one of those situations where every decision was questioned. And I don't think it's right.
No, I don't have an argument with that, to be fair, Gary. Adds to the space of the game Saturday then?
Well, not, it was just what happened on the night, and that's gone now. It's like any game. Every game's different. We're going to be totally focused on what we're going to go and do there. I'm not going to be talking about, and hopefully it doesn't happen again, you know. We're not going to be talking about the other side of the game when the game's the most important thing.
Sure, mate. And just finally for me, I've hogged this, but I'm quite interested. Is, you know, it is quite a quick turnaround from the first, like, Tuesday, Saturday. Anything going into your game plan, anything that you change coming off Tuesday night, you thought, I'm going to change a little bit, how are you going to go and play the game there? Go and try and win it? How do you approach it?
Yeah, we only know how to play one way, and I think I certainly won't be going there with a one goal lead to sit back and try and get a draw out of the game. We go there to win it. You know, during the game, if we feel we need to change it, then that's what we do, whether that be in the first 5 minutes or in the last 5 minutes. But we'll be going there to win the game. If that doesn't happen, then, you know, we just need a draw. And hopefully we can go and get, you know, either a win or a draw, which will then take us to Wembley.
I know Dave Waters wants to ask a quick question, but for me, when we talk about whether the Cowleys and distraction for Lincoln and all that they're trying to achieve, of course, Gary, you're up the other end of the table just trying to stay in the league too. Is this proving a distraction for you at the moment, or does that kind of build momentum when you get the wins like this in the trophy?
No, I said from the first game, Caroline, that this is a good competition for me. I said it 5 years ago when I went the other way and we got promoted, that the FA Trophy was a major reason why we actually got promoted. And it, you know, we grew a strength, we grew a confidence. You know, we won the trophy, we done the double. And I said from the word go, when we played Harlow away in our first game, that, you know, this could, and we can make this the competition that helps us grow a confidence, grow a belief, grow a spirit to get the results in the league that we need this time, not to get promoted, but to stay in the league. So, I like the competition, I always have. And at the end of it, it's getting to Wembley. And, you know, I've been lucky enough, player and manager, to be there quite a few times, but you can never get enough. So I want a little bit more, please.
Well, yeah, what an incredible story. We talk about the Lincoln story this season, but for you to, if you were to stay up, I'm not saying if, yeah, when you stay up, Gary, and also win the trophy, Colin, what a story that would be. Go on then, Dave Waters.
No, and to be honest, Gary, I don't really want to bring you back to the Cowleys, but what I was going to ask you was whether you'd seen, you know, those kind of problems you experienced, or you described, you know, with them, you know, calling on people to get booked, etc. Did that happen in the previous meetings this season? Or I'm just wondering whether all the attention they've had, whether, do you think they've changed their approach from what you've seen, or were they like that before?
I think you're right what you said a minute ago. You don't want to talk about them. And personally, you know, I've come on the phone to talk about us, not about them, and what we're going to do and what we're about. I'm going to go back to what you said a minute ago. I want to get to Wembley and win the FA Trophy. And if I can keep this fantastic club in this league, then for me personally, it would be a bigger achievement than getting them promoted 5 years ago and winning the trophy. So that's all I'm focused on. nobody else, my team, my club, and, you know, I look forward to Saturday.
I love that. I love the my team, my club. Does it feel like that, Gary? We are going to let you go, but does it feel like that with the fans at the moment? Do you feel this kind of this fighting spirit, everyone together?
Absolutely. What I can honestly, Caroline, what they've been through at this football club, and, you know, no one was a prouder man than me to come back and get my job back here at York. What these fans have been through and got and still going through, they've been absolutely magnificent. And I honestly don't know any fans anywhere else that have got behind a team. It's not just this season, but they've had 2 or 3 years of it now. And, you know, a fantastic football club that is on hard times and going the wrong way down divisions, that we've got to bounce back, and we're doing that together. And believe me, I think we're proving, you know, through the league now and through the trophy, that we've got that spirit, we've got the fight. And I'm just hoping and praying that, you know, come the end of April, that that is going to be enough to not only win the trophy, but keep us in this league.
Good luck, Gary. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care. Gary Mills, boss down at York. And I said it would be an incredible story, but Dave, to do that, to keep them up, to go and win the trophy, all big ifs and buts, but to go to Lincoln first off and to win at Lincoln would be pretty much one of the results of the season, given all that both clubs are going through at the moment.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, keeping up, I think, yeah, listen, me, I'd chuck a trophy in the bin. If someone says you can have the trophy in your mantelpiece or stay up, there's only one option. But I think Gary's right. If you beat Lincoln and sort of the run they're having, then it gives you confidence. If you sustain a few results, which you're starting to do, it gives you confidence. And I absolutely respect the way he dealt with the interview, because it's the same old story at times, and I'm on the other end of this, that I'm doing the interview now, and managers only want to talk about their own teams.
You had two chumps. What is that enable?
He said he gave me short shrift anyway.
Yeah, but to be fair,
fair play to him. I expected it. I think I agree with you, Dave. I mean, and I'm sure he's probably his chairman as well. Staying up has got to be the priority. But as he said, you know, this run can help them. And actually, I think you may have hinted to him, this could be the right time to play, to go to Central Bank as well.
Yeah, the one thing you're looking for when you're down and around there, and I'm speaking from a man who's done it.
Experience
is right. And if you get a little run going, it's not like the top of the league where you have to be winning, I don't know, 3 out of 4 games if you're going to sort of get win the championship. When you're down the bottom, if you can put together 4 or 5 results, you know, maybe 2 wins, 2 draws, something like that, that'll be a lot better than the rest of the lads around you. So he's starting to do that, Gary. And sometimes it fits, doesn't it? You know, he feels like it's his club. They feel like he's the guy for them. And that he can pull all that together. And he seems to be doing that, you know.
It would be the fairy tale, wouldn't it? But I'm just looking again at the table, and he's got some work to do, though. They've got a game in hand, but there's a little bit of a gap there to the teams above them. So,
absolutely, and that's why it's massive that they sustain the sort of run that they're on.
So we were hearing then from Gary Mills about all things trophy this weekend. Let's focus on the league, the National League North, in fact, because when as fans you think sometimes that enough is enough, what do you do about getting things changed at your club? A group at National League North side Altrincham will be protesting against Chairman Graham Rowley by walking out of their next home game against Selybridge Celtic this weekend. Mike is one of those joining that protest and joins us now. Hiya, Mike.
Hello.
So what's this all about then?
Basically, it's a protest against the chairman, just telling him that as fans, enough is enough. We're bottom of the National League North, and we have been, apart from a brief period between Saturday and Tuesday, since November. It's a huge fall from grace from being, you know, playing Tranmere Rovers and Bristol Rovers in the league last year to where we're going to be next year, playing the likes of, you know, Rushall and Colville Town. It's the lowest point in our 114-year history, and it's just our way of saying it's not on.
We're going to get into the kind of what you're doing, the timing of it, etc. in just a moment. But can I read you a statement that we've got from the chairman? So this is Graham Rowley responding to us this morning. We said that you were coming on the show, Michael, at least a representative, which is easy for me to say. Good luck with me reading this statement. Was coming on the show. So here's what the statement had to say. This is what Graham sent to us this morning. He says, while fully respecting the right of supporters to express their feelings in this way, the board of Altrincham would like to point out they are working extremely hard to turn around the situation we find ourselves in, and that in recent weeks there have been clear signs of improvement on and off the pitch. The recently conducted strategic review highlighted many deficiencies that required attention, and they are currently being addressed. The appointment of Bill Waterson and Mike Adams to the board has added fresh impetus and expertise in key areas, with further appointments to follow. The statement goes on to say, no one could have foreseen the drastic decline in fortunes that accompanied the arrival of Neil Young and then Jim Harvey, both vastly experienced managers, both appointed to widespread approval. As a board, we share the dismay and disappointment of supporters at the way things have turned out, but we believe we have acted decisively to try and remedy matters by making a managerial change when the club were drifting with no sense of purpose or direction and turning to the current two managers to instill the sort of fight and passion they always showed as Altrincham players. This has been evident in recent weeks with performances and results that have been significantly better than before. The board do not take lightly the feelings and views of our supporters, but would appeal for everyone to unite behind the team as they try and build on recent results and launch one last bid to safeguard our place in the Vanarama National League North. As always, we would like to stress our appreciation of the fantastic support given to the team every week and hope we can continue to rely on it whilst the rebuilding programme gathers pace at our great club. That quite a lengthy statement from the chairman from Altrincham Football Club. How would you respond to that then, Mike?
Well, there are a couple of things there, to be honest. The statement mentions that the club went wrong when they appointed Neil Young as the manager. For a majority of fans, it started before that. 18 months ago, we played Colchester in the FA Cup, and we very nearly won the game in the 93rd minute, and then they went up the other end and scored. For a lot of people, it starts there. Lee Sinnott, who was the manager at the time, it seemed that his head just dropped completely and he couldn't get a reaction from the players. He then left in very dubious circumstances. Nobody's entirely sure what happened. The club released a very wishy-washy statement that just said that he was no longer the manager. It wasn't whether he'd left, whether the club had decided to, get rid of him as the manager. From there, we were still within, we had a very decent shout of staying up and retaining our place in the Conference National. And at that point, Neil Tolson was appointed as manager, and the club said in a statement he was appointed because of his loyalty to the club. And that, whilst it's all well and good having somebody who's an assistant coming in as a caretaker manager, at that time there should have been a real process looking for a new manager who would be able to keep us up. Because after the first three or four results, nothing was changing, and so it's there that the sort of the staleness set in.
So you, and then you think those processes haven't happened for each of those appointments then? Because he says in the statement that no one could have foreseen it, that both the appointments of Young and then Harvey, that there were widespread approval for those appointments.
That's not strictly true. I would argue against that. There was many people that voiced concern when Neil Young was announced as the manager, the way he left Stockport previously, his management style at Stockport. One of my friends, he's a Stockport fan, he was saying it's probably the worst appointment that you could have made. You won't get back up. He'll sign players and release them like week after week. There's no continuity, and that just proved to be correct. And the board they've not taken any responsibility for that appointment. They can apologise for getting things wrong, but they've not done that. That's one of the things. they've just appointed managers on personal friendships with the chairman. We were told after Jim Harvey that there would be a thorough process to selecting the new manager. Matt Doughty and Robbie Lawton were brought in. Two ex-players, as they said, tried to put a bit of passion back into the club.
We've seen that work before, though, haven't we, previously? I'm thinking of appointments, particularly in the National South League that I'm in. We've seen that with Welling, clubs that have gone for the sort of the player-manager route because you kind of hang on it, and it galvanises teams when you're in that sticky situation.
Absolutely, but that's not quite how it proved to be. They, as I said, the club said that there'll be a thorough process, and Matt Doughty and Robbie Lawton were appointed in the short term. So, which is fair enough. We understand that. You can't have a thorough process and appoint a manager the next day. That it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It then came out that there was a meeting with the chairman and the two caretaker managers, and it was instigated by Matt Doughty and Robbie Lawton, who went to the board and said, "Look, what's happening?" And the board basically said, "Well, you can have the job until the end of the year." That doesn't really show any thorough process to, picking a new manager. It seems like the easy option. And for a lot of people, that's, a real sticking point. Everything's just the easy option. Appointing Neil Tolson was the easy option. The way Neil Young left Altrincham was a complete and utter disgrace. The fans were blamed for him leaving the club. It was in the non-league paper, the chairman stated to a journalist, Sam Elliott, that the fans had been texting personal abuse to Neil Young. There's absolutely no proof that this has been the case. Graham Rowley said at a recent strategic review that he'd asked for a retraction, and when people had got in touch with this same journalist, he completely refuted that claim.
There's a lot in what you're saying. I remember that at the time, and we had Sam Elliott on the show at the time when that happened. There's a few questions that I know that both the guys want to get to, and we want to look at how you resolve it from here, because as fans, that's the worst part, isn't it? Sitting there feeling, what can we physically do? But I know, Waters, you want to ask one. Go on, Dave.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Listen, I understand you're entitled to your opinions and you're fighting for your club. First off, I just want to sort of make a statement. What I'm amazed at is that I haven't heard you talking about anything to do with off-field events at that club that's gone wrong. He's not trying to sell your ground. He's not hiking season ticket prices. He's not banning fans. I don't, unless you're going to point me right on that at the moment, for what they're saying on social media. So, this is all about him choosing the wrong managers. Is there anything more to it than that, or is he poisoning the whole atmosphere behind the club? And the second part of my question really is, what do you want to see happen? I mean, with your protest, where do you want this to end? I mean, I think the answer's sort of half obvious, but you could say
for a lot of the fans, as I say, I can't speak for everybody, and there are some fans who are joining this protest for their own reasons. However, for me, it's threefold. There's the footballing matters, which there needs to be a level of accountability for that, and there hasn't been anything whatsoever. As I say, there's the alienation of fans. Like, we've been vilified in the non-league paper without proof. This was then rewritten in the club's official match day programme for the game afterwards, basically stating that any fan who was involved in it is a complete and utter disgrace. Now, I agree with that, that anybody who does send personal abuse to anybody, they are a disgrace. But there was no proof whatsoever that this happened. It was just one person's word. And now we've had our name tarnished across, basically nationwide. There's been terrace arguments with fans, like the chairman claimed after Braintree at the end of last season, that he, in a statement that he released to our club website, he claimed that he wanted to lamp some people. That's not an acceptable way for a chairman to talk about paying fans who have travelled hundreds and hundreds of miles, like in one day, to go to a game to watch us basically give up our place in the National League.
Mike, I mean, there's obviously loads of claims and counter-claims, and I'm not saying either one side is right or the other, but obviously Graham Rowley's not on here to defend himself, although he did have that opportunity to come on, and he's more than welcome on next week. What I want to get to now is, how many people do you expect to be part of this protest? And if nothing happens, can you see a point, you know, if Graham Rowley turns around to you as fans and says, right, let's have a chat, let's sit down and see how we can resolve this and move forward together. Would you take that?
Well, this is one of the things. The club, we've had this strategic review recently, which they sent out a questionnaire just before Christmas, and they asked people to respond. A lot of people were quite offended by the way it was worded. One of the questions stated, "What is the purpose of Altrincham Football Club?" Now, for anybody who supports a football club, that's blatantly obvious that it's there primarily as a football club. There's a lot of community things that are done on the side that everybody appreciates, but the focus has to be on the football club. At this strategic review, the fans were labelled an angry minority, despite the fact that a lot of the more angry fans didn't take part in it, because they didn't see it. They saw it as a self-serving exercise.
I understand, and I've seen a lot of that, Mike, and sorry to rush you, but are you confident that many fans will turn up at the weekend? And also, if that does happen and Graham Rowley still refuses to go, in your mind, which is what you want to happen, would you sit down and talk to him?
There needs to be a united front. We're getting relegated this year. I think everybody can, you know, pretty much agree on that. If we don't, and by some miracle we stay up, then 19th in the National League North should not be seen as an achievement. That's how a lot of the fans feel. We need a united front for next year. And as things stand, there's a significant group of supporters who don't feel that they can truly get behind the club in as they'd like to under the current chairman, because they feel that nothing's going to change. There's going to be absolutely no accountability to anybody, and we're just going to end up drifting further and further apart.
Apologies again for rushing you, Mike. Thank you so much for coming on and making your point too. If people want to see what you're doing this weekend and find out more, how can they follow you guys?
There's a Twitter page. It's at Goodbye Rowley, which is, you know, it's tweeting news of what's going on. We're walking out in the 15th minute as a protest. There's, you know, it's going to be a peaceful protest. It's what we, it's one of the things that we are really trying to push people to sort of understand. We're paying our hard-earned money to get into the ground to walk out 15 minutes later. It's £14 entrance at Altrincham. So we're paying £1 a minute basically to stand there, chant, support our team, and then leave to make our point. We appreciate that some people don't want to do that, but support the protest. We're then meeting up in a pub in Altrincham afterwards. We're going to show an old Altrincham game on TV. So anybody who feels the same way as us but doesn't want to walk out because of, you know, they've spent their hard-earned money to watch the game, we completely understand that. We just, you know, hope that it's reciprocated the other way. It's a polite protest. It's not, you know, an angry mob. We're one of the most understanding groups of fans. You know, we're still getting nearly 1,000 people at home games despite our current league position. This is why it's now come to a head. It's things have just gone on for too long.
Okay, Mike, thanks for your time.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Take care. That's Mike Reeves then, part of that protest that's planned for this weekend. Mike spoke about that quote with regard after the Braintree game, and that was a quote that featured in a lot of the press. It was certainly in the local Altrincham papers after that game, and that was with regard to Graham Rowley talking about a difficult day. He says, an awful day for my club and me personally. Some of the things that were said were not on. My wife was in tears because she thought I was going to lamp someone, but I've gone past those days. Even so, it was hurtful. My car was the quietest it has ever been on the way home. There is no doubt, Dave Watters, that something has gone amiss, that breakdown has happened between the fans, or at least a section of the fans, and you see it if you go on the forum as well, a section of the fans and the chairman too. Do you get the feeling that there's any way back?
Well, the trouble is often when it's down to something like this, where it's almost pure emotion now. You could hear that from Mike. They don't like the man. He's upset them. And, there probably isn't any way back. But as you were hinted a few minutes ago, he may just choose to ignore these protests. And you're going to have this, rump led by Mike, who could be there for years battling on. But one thing remiss of me, and I should have asked him, is where's all the money coming from at Altrincham? Where would they be if they got their way without Mr. Rowley?
It's a point you were, sadly we're almost beaten for time, but I know the point you wanted to make, Dave Anderson, was again, where do they go? Who comes in?
Just quickly, a couple of things. One is they've no chance of staying up. They're relegated. Alex Ferguson couldn't keep them up. The second one is you got to be careful what you wish for. So I agree with Dave in that respect of it. And I also agreed with the points Dave made that he's not trying to fleece the club. He's made some bad decisions and there's a breakdown in the relationship. I think that the first thing
we've
that they
bad
should...
chairman as well, haven't we, Dave? We've come across plenty of bad ones over the years.
Listen, an easy thing to sit in a studio and say it, but I genuinely mean it, is I think they should, what is it, they need some marriage guidance before they split up. They need to try and get some sort of talks or some sort of something together and put their personal emotions, I'm talking about the chairman and the supporters, to the side to try and benefit the football club. If then it can't happen, then go to stage two. But that's me sitting down here.
Well, there might be some personal emotions on my point if we don't get going with the rest of the show. Well worth, though, always, if you've got a story going on at your club, and we will be back and we will find out what happens at Altrincham. And I said, Graham Rowley is more than welcome to come on the show too. He has sent us that lengthy statement, which you can wind back and listen to him for if you want, but he's more than welcome to come on. I would love the fans and him to be able to get together. But if that's not going to be the way forward, then what is the way forward next for the club? You are listening to the Non-League Football Show, sponsored by Pitch Hero, the UK's number one provider of sport club websites.
I think I've got some breaking news, by the way, this morning.
Go on.
Thursday. You know Horsham, the Hornets, who have been living in exile for many years, proud rival South Club? Well, they have been waiting on planning permission. I think this battle's been going on for about 4 years now, where they've got it. Well, it's very complicated, but last night, I believe, Horsham District Council finally gave the go-ahead for some houses to be built on some land that they also own, which will now fund their new ground. And I believe the planning permission for their new ground was also recommended for approval last night as well. So that's great news for Horsham.
So we talked about the trophy then. What about the Vase? Second leg of the semis this weekend. South Shields take a 2-1 lead back home as they face Coleshill Town. And Cleethorpes up against Bromsgrove Sporting, locked at 1-1. Matt Jones is secretary at Cleethorpes and joins us now. Hiya, Matt.
Hello.
Not secretary for much longer, but we'll get to that in a moment. I'm such tease. Such a tease. How are things looking at the club ahead of this weekend?
Oh, everybody's very excited and very nervous, as you can imagine. It's the biggest game in the club's history. So we want to get it. I just wish it was Saturday now.
Too right. Does that mean it's been mega busy for you then?
It has been, yes. We're looking like it's going to be a sellout. I mean, Bromsgrove had a fantastic crowd of nearly 3,500 at the first leg. We're limited to around 1,200 here, but it's heading for a sellout. So it'll certainly be the biggest crowd we've had for a long time.
Cool, incredible. Go on, Dave.
No, listen to the games that you want to be involved in. But my thing is that going there... You go away from home, you draw one each, you get them back to your place. The world and his mum thinks you're going to win because you've now got them at home. Isn't always like that. Sometimes even more difficult, Matt, to play the home game.
Well, I think it can be. I'm certainly the kind of person that never counts his chickens either. We're unbeaten at home all season and they're unbeaten everywhere, home and away. They haven't lost a game yet. So something's got to give on Saturday.
Oh, well, fingers crossed for you. Obviously, fingers crossed for them too. Just to remain neutral. So I mentioned then that this is your last season. Where are you off to?
I'm going. I've just found out recently I'm being accepted as secretary for the Northern Counties League for next season.
Brilliant. What does that mean to you then?
Well, it's hopefully a big step up personally for me. Obviously, I'm going to miss the day-to-day interaction with the teams, but instead of looking after one team, now I've got 44 to look after. So... Oh. a big challenge for me. And Brian Gould, who has done the role for a number of years, has done an absolutely fantastic job. He's retiring at the end of the season. So I'm aware that I've got massive shoes to fill, but I wouldn't have applied if I didn't think I could do it.
Too right.
Matt, how are you going to cope, though? Sorry, it's Dave here, if you can hear me. Hello, mate. You know, you're going to go from organising Cleethorpes, home and away. I've got a horrible feeling as an administrator, you may be a bit more desk-bound.
I've always liked spreadsheets and, you know, flowcharts and things like that. I'm very good with my computer. I've always been very office-based anyway.
Oh, you fit the bill then, mate. You fit the bill.
To be honest, I felt ready for the next challenge in my career, so it'll be a good challenge for me.
Yeah.
How
have you worked with the FA before and stuff? Because you'll probably have a few trips to Wembley to make now as well.
Well, that'd be good. I mean, I've liaised with the Lincolnshire FA and the county FAs and that kind of thing and people on our local area. But to actually go down to Wembley will be absolutely fantastic for me.
Do you know what? I'm intrigued in this kind of the secretary career path, Matt, because it's something we see all different areas of football, but it's always notoriously hard for non-league football clubs in particular to find a secretary because there's so much weight on your shoulders, isn't there?
I think people don't realise how much is involved with the job. There are times where it feels like a full-time job, and obviously I do a full-time paid job as well, which ties me up for 45 hours a week. So it is a case of being dedicated and sitting down and doing stuff at night and at weekends. And you have to be prepared to sort of wait long hours and get stuck into it. But it's something I've always done and really enjoyed. Satisfies that frustrated footballer in me. Gives me a chance to do something valuable and useful for a football team.
I was just about to ask you, Matt, to close your eyes and imagine your last season at Cleethorpes up there in the Royal Box as that vase is being lifted.
Well, it'd be absolutely amazing. That would actually be my last game if we're lucky enough to get there.
What a way to go out.
That's where I would bow out. Wow. Even if we don't, we've had a fantastic season. We're top of the league. We're in the Lincolnshire Senior Cup final. We've got the Vars semi-final to come. And the players have been absolutely superb all season.
It's been a really
enjoyable year. So hopefully I'm going to bow out in some sort of style.
I mean, there's going out and then there's going out. There's no exiting stage.
You can't do better than Wembley, can you?
No. You can't indeed. Although I know that word's been banned this week. Word at the club.
They are very down to earth. They take one game at a time and, you know, we just take it as it comes. We've still got an awful lot of games to go. Obviously, we've been in the cups. We've got a big backlog of league games. We've got 10 games to play in April yet.
Cool.
And at the minute, we're top of the league. It looks like a two-horse race between ourselves and Pickering. But while we're in Vars action on Saturday, Pickering can overtake us. So we've certainly still got some points to be won.
Matt, enjoy all that reorganisation then of matches before you give up the job. Well done again on all things that have happened this season. All the best of luck in your new role, and no doubt we'll talk to you again in that role too. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. Matt Jones, currently at Cleethorpes, soon to be the General Secretary of the Tool Station Northern Counties East.
And Cleethorpes, the Lincoln City of their level. What a season they're having.
I tell you what, if he likes Wembley, though, he'll love it being the secretary of the league. He'll be back up and down to Wembley on his... They all get special tickets. He'll have a great time, bless him.
Remember, you can get in touch with us at Non-League Show. Now, you may have seen this week that Isthmian Leaguers, Thamesmead Town, are upping sticks and have agreed a five-year deal to share at National League neighbours Dartford. For some, it seemed quite a strange move, given their current ground, whose home had been at Bayliss Avenue, if you're still following, but they weren't able to secure a five-year lease with the landlord, the Peabody Trust. To get a sideways look at this, Keith McMahon was manager at Thamesmead when they revamped the ground to the tune of £4 million. This was when we were at the early days of the non-league show, if you remember rightly. He's now part of the Ryman League podcast team and manager at VCD Athletic. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Caroline. How are you?
I'm all right, Gaffer. What do you make of this, then?
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. I've sort of expressed my views a couple of times on it, but I just feel I feel for everyone connected with Thamesmead that's been there so long. And it was on the cards. It was one of the reasons why I left, because it was coming to a loggerhead with the local trust. And I just think that it's outrageous, and really something needs to be done about it.
Back in the day when we were started off with the non-league show, this was kind of a jewel, wasn't it? It was being put forward as, this is how non-league clubs can exist. This new ground, the grant that had gone into it, pitches around it that would pay the way for the first team to play. That's kind of how it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, they come to us when we had our old building and said, you know, that they would make us a Conference South club with all these great facilities. And to be fair, it was a bit of a white elephant just to get us to sign over the lease. And they promised us a long lease. And in the last sort of knockings of the last few months, when push come to shove, they didn't do it. And they just offered us what they called a license. And, you know, they've had a football club that's been in Thamesmead for 43, 44 years. And, you know, charging extortionate rates to play and train there for the youth teams, which extended the, you know, being no youth teams anymore, to the situation they're in now.
Hi, Keith, Steve.
Hello.
I've just wrote, and I'm not sure if you definitely predicted this to me. I just don't know where we did it on air or in a bar or in a dugout, but you definitely had concerns about this early on, didn't you?
Had it from the moment when they sort of stepped in, Dave. They, like I said, when we first met them, they promised us the earth and said, yeah, you know, we want the football club to progress. You know, I went to every single meeting. I done a speech in front of European Parliament members to help them get funding, help them with development plan. Everything was, you know, great. We're catapult Thamesmead to the next level. And basically all they wanted to do is get the building and treat it like a business. And and to be honest, when I went back there Saturday, they've run it into the ground. It's horrendous. And as I've said in an interview before, I think the FA need to come and look into it and you know, do an inquiry of what's actually gone on with the money that's been spent, because the place is awful. And I just feel for people like Albert Panting and Peter Tierney, Alan Martin, that founded this club 44 years ago, you know, when they just had a football pitch and some sort of what we used to call bins to put all the goals in, and they bought the club on, and to see this. But it was just broken promises and broken lies, and this is what's happened.
Quite strong, the language that you're using, Keith, and I understand that given where you've been from and your love for the club too. Obviously, Peabody Trust aren't on here to defend themselves.
No.
And the landlord.
And to be fair to Peabody, Caroline, they wasn't the ones that first dealt with it. They just come into this. So I've had no dealings with Peabody whatsoever. And, you know, but most of the stuff I've got, and they know I've got proof on anyway, I've still got thousands and thousands of emails backwards and forwards between the clubs and the local, which was Thamesmead Trust there. So anything I'm saying, I can fully back up, and it isn't an issue. But it's just, you know, when you get a football club that's meant to be in the community, that's worked so hard to get what it is. And don't get me wrong, like most football clubs, they've had issues with finances and whatever to keep their heads afloat, but they've done nothing wrong. And to be sort of hounded out their own ground, which was their ground, which was built by the GLC for them, is outrageous.
The current chairman of the club, Paul Bowden-Brown, has gone on record to thank the current landlords and the senior management as well, and the staff, says our home for the last 4 years. They haven't been able to agree this deal. Is there any comeback, do you think, Keith? And the trust and anyone from there is more than welcome to come on the show. Is there any comeback with what you say from the money that was originally granted to the club to build this facility? Is there any comeback there, do you think?
I don't know. If I was the Football Foundation, I would go and have a look, you know, and see. I know they've got two other football, well, three football clubs in there now. None of them are from Thamesmead that are, you know, are playing there. But, you know, they're all playing on a lesser rent than what Thamesmead was. But I don't think there was. And obviously, you know, the interview, well, the article Paul put out upset me thanking them and didn't thank the rest of the trust, and he knows that, and we spoke about it. I can see certain reasons why, because they're still playing there to the end of the year. And I've got to be honest, if it wasn't for Dartford, I think the football club would cease to exist as it is now. But I just can't see them, that, you know, once you've moved out of Thamesmead, they're not Maidstone United with a massive following. I can't see them ever getting back.
Do you think they'll go under?
Yeah, 100%. I know Paul well, and you know, Paul's done a good job in parts. He's come in and helped the club out, but one man and can't sustain a football club. He's you know, not getting any younger, and he hasn't been a well man. And God forbid, if anything happened to him, that's it. There's nothing there that's going to progress the football club. It will never, ever go back. And as I've spoke before, in my own opinion, even if the football club didn't have any money and didn't pay players and concentrated on staying at their home ground, and even if they dropped down a league or two, the rest of the committee wouldn't have bothered, but the football club would have had a future.
Dave Watters.
Just for people out there that don't know the whole story behind this, who do you blame then for this? I mean, Paul Bowden-Brown isn't here to defend himself. Is it the
chair? I'm not blaming Paul.
Or is it Sporting Club Thamesmead? Are you saying it's Sporting Club by charging the putting the rents up by not offering them security of tenure? Because that's one of the things all football clubs, as you would know, I'm sure, have to prove they've got security of tenure, and that's the reason, the main reason he said they've had to go to Dartford.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, they did get offered a 1-year extension on, again, just ridiculous amounts of money to stay there. And Paul thought 1 year wasn't good enough, which, again, I understand. How can you sort of build a football club for 1 year? What happens after that 1 year? I've got my own personal opinions. But, no, me personally, I blame the trust. Not Peabody. It goes back to when the first agreements were first done, Dave.
And that's the
promises and everything. They didn't treat the football club how it should have been, and they should have built around the football club, and they haven't. And they've, you know, I understand it costs money to run the building, and they're running at a loss. I think that's pretty in the domain. And, you know, I think they've used the football club because of they think they pay players as a bit of a cash cow. And, you know, it seems only when I was there, when I first was there, going back sort of 13 years now, that, you know, we had a football pitch and we trained there. Yep, you know, it didn't cost the club anything to train in its own ground. Now, you know, they're having to shell out tens of thousands of pounds for an academy and to play them themselves.
No, yeah, I mean, to be fair, when you go into these negotiations, when you've got a football ground and you're giving it up to someone else to build, and surely there's, you don't enter into a contract that's 5 years. Surely you enter into, if it has to be a contract at all, it's either forever or for 100 years minimum.
Dave, when we first sat round the table, we had a 99-year lease. They asked us could we change it to 25 years? Why they built the building? And in that, once the building was being built, they basically, once it had been completed, they would then come up with an agreement, which, you know, an extended lease, a new lease, that it would be in good faith to both parties. We believe that, you know, they knew we needed minimum of 25 years if we wanted to apply for any more funding over that period of time for, you know, the Football Foundation and the Stadium Improvement Grant, which they've used, by the way, in the name of Thamesmead Town to help build the ground. And they said, yeah, that's fine. And it kept going on and on and on. And then Charlton come in, which wasn't an issue with the ladies. And then the goalposts just kept changing and changing and changing. And as soon as they got in there, all of a sudden they offered them just a 5-year license agreement.
Yeah, no, but Keith, sorry to interrupt you, but you can't change the goalposts if you've got something in writing. You know, I can't change the goalposts on your contract if we've both signed it.
That's the problem, though, that we just went into meetings, we've had minutes and things like that, and we basically first started out that it was going to be in a partnership agreement, and obviously the club would get X amount of money for the bar, et cetera, and the lease, and it's just, I think they've just seen a bigger picture and what it could earn, and they basically brushed the football club aside, and at the last minute they offered them a licence, and the club had no choice. They had no choice to sign it.
Well,
It's to-ing and fro-ing, and it's complicated. And kind of the sense that comes out of this, again, for me, is something that we beat on about every week. And I don't know when things will change. And you, obviously, Keith, went into this with great intentions at the start, as did everyone. But until we get these football grounds locked down as community assets, until we get them safeguarded so that... I mean, there's no indication... now, is there, that the ground won't be used for football? It's just other teams are going to be on it and
yeah, that's
it.
Right, they've still got Charlton Ladies there, which obviously we had a good partnership in, and they've bought, obviously now they've made a club, Sporting Club Thamesmead, and they've got, you know, they've got all the youth teams they've took from Thamesmead Town there, but obviously I think a lower league club's come in to replace Thamesmead, so it'll still be used as football, but it's, you know, it was the home of Thamesmead Town. That football pitch was the same football pitch for 30 odd years when the GLC actually, you know, built it for Thamesmead Town. And when the GLC got abolished somehow along the line, that the trust have took over it.
Keith, we'll leave it there. We can hear more of these kind of conversations with you on the Ryman League show. How can people listen?
Yeah, no, they can come on to obviously the Ryman League podcast, or they can, you know, log on live on Facebook or on Periscope on Twitter that we're doing every week now.
Waters, was that one last one?
Between 7 and 9 p.m. Yeah,
7 till 9 on Monday, yeah. No, it's getting really popular at the moment. Obviously, we had the legend of Dave on last week, so we're hoping to get Caroline on soon as well.
Yeah, let's cut him off. Keith McMahon, thank you for coming on.
Cheers,
Keith, Matt. Former manager at Thamesmead. You can hear Keith's passion. Like I said, there's loads of to-ing and fro-ing.
What we didn't cover, is Keith was there for a long time as a manager. He built it as much on the pitch as people were working off the pitch.
He was the club mascot. He'd go find the balls. He'd go raise the money. He'd go and... But again, that's what you get at non-league football clubs at grassroots. And he thought he was laying the foundations for a club to stay there.
Yeah, with his heart
forever.
And soul. And
quite
you know,
so upset. You could hear it in his voice.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, I'm aware I've had lots of... conversations with Keith away from media, and you know his love of the club isn't in doubt. Let me tell you, and believe me, he didn't take much out. He put plenty in, and I used to question him about that. I used to go, you need to get yourself paid, you know, fair and square. But so I can understand his anger that all of that work for that club has been taken away from him. And the last thing on it for me. Surely there's someone raps the FA's door at Wembley and goes, here, look at that. Is that right? Can you act on that? Surely there's a department in Wembley that, you know, can pull up a few trees and see what is actually happening. Because this isn't in benefit of non-league football, is it?
There's a balance to be struck, isn't there, between a commission that's looking at retrospective punishment for diving, et cetera, et cetera.
Cheating.
That can exist alongside a commission to look at the way... that our foundations are run, the way we look after grassroots football within this country.
Oh,
we don't know the ins and outs.
Yeah, you know, just one thing.
We have Keith's opinion. Keith says he has facts to back it up.
Yep.
We don't have the other side of that. However, in general, there has to be something to safeguard this level of football that holds up the rest of the game.
Yeah, and you can't, listen, it's the chicken and the egg as well, because you can't, run you can't look into diving if all the football pitches is gone because no one can dive. So it is the bottom line for me that these people are protected and not mugged off by clever people who want to make money. I'm not using just this instance, but sorry, Dave, but I do think that this has to be looked into. That surely this has to be looked into.
Go on, Waters.
I'm sure. I was going to say, look, I think it's established that there's no funny business going on here in terms of, you know, someone's trying to sell the ground or anything like that.
No.
I think we can rule that out, safely rule that out. Although, I mean, I stand to be corrected, but you've got to put yourself in the mind of this, you know, the chairman of this club and these other officials. And it was one of the questions I should have asked Keith. You know, next season, why would he want to take his club to Dartford knowing that the fans are going to go mad? You know, that who is going to actually go and support them next season? If they thought they had financial problems, and obviously one of the reasons that they're moving is because they can't afford the rent because they're not getting enough people through the gate. Well, in what condition are they going to be in next season?
But sometimes you have no choice.
You know, club all could die because they could just go over there. But you do wonder how bad things must be that they're taking that option. You know, it's like jumping off a sinking ship into a, well, you know.
Yeah, but if they're only offered 1 year, you can't run a football club with a 1 year lease.
Well, I know, but maybe they could have stayed there for 1 year and negotiated for another year to try and extend the lease rather than taking this big, because it is effectively like walking off the edge of a cliff in a way.
But again, we don't know whether they've been doing that for the last 12 months.
Yeah,
true enough, I'm sure. But
I think we're all a bit exasperated, aren't we? I think we are. Let's go knock on that door. For the FA.
Just go and bang that door down, baby.
Yeah. Let's go and... You just call me baby, which is, you know, by far my highlight. Not just this week, not just this month,
maybe this year. One more little story. You know, U-turns have been in the news this week with the Chancellor and self-employed people and the rest of it. Hmm. Well, I don't know if any of you spotted the big U-turn down in the Ryman League this week with Matt Longhurst, the chap who left to go, he went to Hastings from East Grinstead United.
Mm.
He's done a really good job there. Mm. He left to be number two at Hastings to Darren Hare. He came home after 12 days, decided it wasn't for him, and East Grinstead have taken him back.
There's always a chance for you, Dave. I'll always have your back. Yes, I did see that. And do you know, not just did I see that, Dave Anderson was nodding along. He saw that story too.
Yeah, it did actually. Yeah, on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Twitter. We also haven't mentioned that result at Arsenal. That's because, you know what, all Lincoln have achieved this season gets rid of that result. We also haven't mentioned Dagenham Redbridge boss John Still signing a new 2-year deal.
Yeah, that's good. That's good work on the club, behalf of the club.
And there's also plenty more that we haven't mentioned, but you can see all of those stories and beyond via our social media at Non-League Show. That's also the place where you can find a link to vote for us, the BritishPodcastAwards.com. Dave in his penguin suit. It's well worth a look. Anything else you'd like to mention, anyone?
Well, I was going to tell my Chelsea story just to cheer people up.
Go on, then.
I went to AFC Wimbledon versus Milton Keynes on Tuesday night. And I was having a meal with Terry Brown, who's now the manager of Basingstoke.
Former Wimbledon boss.
Who took over after, who's a big friend of mine, as I'm sure people know. And a guy, gentleman, came over really well-dressed and sort of said, hi, Dave. And I said, oh, how are you? And I couldn't put his face to, you know, I knew the face, just couldn't put a name to it. Mm. But obviously Terry knew who he was, got up, shook hands. And we were talking about the Chelsea Man United Cup tie. And I said, listen, when Costa was diving around in the box cheating, I said, turn it over. I've just had it with people at that level or any level cheating. How can they do that? And how do people put up with it? How does their own club put up with it? And obviously the guy, he wasn't happy. You could tell he was a Chelsea fan the way he went about things. So anyway, finished our conversation. See you later, mate. Cheerio. And he walked away. And I said to Brownie, Chelsea supporter then? He went, Dave, he's not a Chelsea supporter. He's a Chelsea secretary. So if the non-league shows...
I thought you were going to say it was John Terry.
If the non-league paper's thinking about having their awards at Stamford Bridge, don't invite me.
They are at Stamford Bridge as well.
So we're not always depressing.
We'll meet you out on the King's Road, Dave.
Yeah.
That'll be another one we can go to instead, Waters. Dave Waters, Dave Anderson, thank you as always. Today's show was sponsored by Pitch Hero, celebrating 10 years of being at the heart of grassroots football. If they need an advert doing, Dave Anderson's your man. If there is a story you want to see...
And they provide the websites for the Northern Premier League, the Rhymer League and the Southern League.
Well, all right. If there's a story you want to see on the show, remember you can drop us a line on social media. You can find us at Non-League Show. Bye for now.